All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And I said, if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Today I'm going to start my teaching from the book of Leviticus chapter 25. If you have been around for a while, for the last two or three meetings, what we have been discussing is how to pray for yourself. And I emphasize the fact that it is possible to pray continually. And that the prayers of Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms were answered. All right, that was, these are the prayers that he prayed on our behalf before the throne of God. And we have the assurance of the scriptures that God answered him, and therefore the answers that were given to him have been ascribed to us. Therefore, that's why if you see, for those of us who've been around, you will see where the Bible will tell, will say something like, make me do this. We confess that he makes me to do this. Do you understand my point? And we said that Jesus lived his life essentially centered around the book of Psalms number 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He did not go around all the time praying about his personal needs, but he maintained a positive confession of the word of God. Let me say something here. The Christianity is different from, all these Eastern religions. We're not practicing spiritism. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to learn laws that work outside God. He said the weapons of our warfare are how? Mighty through God. Do you get my point? It is not how to settle down and practice witchcraft. And we must be careful as Christians that we don't practice witchcraft. Let me tell you something about the things of the spirit. If you learn them, you can learn the methods by which certain things are done. Just like a man can go to school and learn how to tune an engine. Do you understand my point? There's nothing spiritual about it. He can just go learn the methods of making an engine, and he becomes an engineer. In the same way, you can have those who have become spiritineers. You understand my point? Uh-huh. You know, an engineer. They learn how to engineer things spiritually. And that's what we call a lot of times witchcraft. Is that okay? When you begin to tap into the power of the realm of the spirit without passing through God, then what you are practicing is witchcraft. When you want to directly control somebody else by using methods, all right, of going into the realm of the spirit and doing this, I'm sorry to say, a lot of times those things are taught. We have to be careful, and you see, a lot of times what we practice, all right, if we're not careful as preachers, we end up teaching people how to practice witchcraft also. What is true Christianity? True Christianity is discovering the will of God and walking with God. If I will say something, we read that from Hebrews chapter 13. It is because God has already said. Do you get my point? That is, I don't wake up in the morning and start confessing, the moon shall turn red, the moon shall turn red, the moon shall turn red, the moon shall turn red. The Lord said nothing anywhere about the moon turning red. Do you understand my point? And it has no bearing upon your life, the color of the moon. Do you follow what I mean? The Lord made the moon before you were born, and the moon with its current color can fulfill the will of God in your life. Please, don't try and alter the color of the moon by your constant confession. Now, this might appear like an extreme, but that's what we are taught a lot of time as Christians. We just think that if you want anything, we put the correct words in our mouth, and I keep on saying it eventually. Let me tell you something. If you harass God enough so that he will have peace of mind, he can give you any rubbish you want. Do you get my point? So be careful when you are giving testimonies. But let me not sit too much on those corrections. Let me sit on our, let's lay some foundations of doctrines in our hearts. So the point I'm making there is this. What we do as believers is that we discover what God has said, and based upon the word of God, we make our utterances. And we said that that is how we overcome in life. He said he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, in that they did not love their lives unto death. There are a number of things are in there. The number one thing is that the blood speaks. The blood speaks. The Bible says that we have come to the blood that speak better things, all right, than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus is speaking. He's speaking forgiveness. He's speaking healing for your body. He's speaking deliverance from your former situations. He's speaking brightness for your future. That Jesus died so that certain things that were keeping you down will no longer keep you down. And if you will discover what God has said about your life and you constantly say that thing, then the power of God is released into your life. That's what Christianity is. Are you getting my point? It is not how to concentrate and focus. Focus on maybe you want this computer to shift, and you cross your leg and focus. After a long time, the computer shifts. Listen, that's joblessness, all right? If you really want to move the computer, get up. The Lord has given you two hands. Shift the thing. You don't have to impress yourself that you know how to engineer the voice of the Spirit. Every witch that's going to hell with can do that. You follow my point? No, I'm telling you, look, listen, when we talk about witchcraft, that is not a joke. I've read stories, authentic gist of a witch, not a repentant witch. Do you get my point? A practicing which that cast somebody into the wall with her eyes. Look at the person and glance like this. The person flew into the wall. They had to chisel the person out of a concrete wall. No, that's not a joke. I'm serious. These are things that happen. But I like the way Carman said it. You come in my presence, I will tell you, if you like, cast a ruko tree into the Atlantic Ocean. You will go to hell, I will go to heaven. Do you understand my point? You do it from now till tomorrow. You will die in poverty. God will bless me. You are the one the devil will mess with, not me. And believe me, you can't cast me into a wall. No, that is, are you getting what I'm going to explain? So you see, don't go and be practicing things that you come and be exciting yourself that you've learned how to manipulate the things of the Spirit. A Christian is supposed to discover the Word of God and walk with the Word of God. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. That's what Christianity is. We don't go around trying to just become something. No, God made us to be something. And we go around trying to discover what He has made us to be. And once we have discovered what His Word is saying about our lives, what is the next thing we do? We start speaking according to that Word. So they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of their testimony. That is, if the blood is saying something, and they are saying the same thing as what the blood is saying, then that is how they overcome. Do you understand my point? It's not as if they go around shouting the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. A lot of people who go to church shout the blood of Jesus. They go to work and shout the blood of Satan. And they don't realize it. In church, we shout the blood of Jesus. But what do I mean by they shout the blood of Satan? I'll explain what I mean by that. That is, when events happen, all right, they start judging what their lives will be by what is occurring on the earth. That way, you are shouting the blood of the devil. You don't realize it. You think just by shouting the blood of Jesus. No. The blood speaks. It speaks about your work. It speaks about your health. It speaks about your family. It speaks about your future. It speaks about your finances. When you speak what the blood is speaking, that is how you are overcoming by the blood. Do you understand that? All right, so that's the thing that we have been seeing, talking about how to pray for yourself. So what do? You constantly maintain the confession of the Word of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's what you say as you activate the Word of God with your tongue that the power of God is released to transform your life. Do you understand my point? So constantly, you know, I remember, you know, the joke, well, not really a joke. Why do I keep on calling this thing jokes? And this thing that happened many years ago. I was cracking the joke, all right? So I took a stick and I bent over it and was walking. And somebody said, Doc has 60. I said, impossible. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Those are the issues. I remember them. They said, meningitis is killing people. Meningitis is killing people. Everybody run. I said, that is the reason why I won't take that vaccine. It is not because vaccination is bad. It's a good thing. Is that okay? But why should I run? I said, meningitis should hear my name and disappear. Not that I hear the name of meningitis. Now I can't settle down. It is meningitis that will die, not me. Do you get my point? Yes, that's what the blood of Jesus is speaking. He's speaking victory in my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. That's what he said. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Your youth is renewed like an eagle's. That's the point. That's what he has said. I keep on saying that in the face. And that's what the test of Christianity is. No matter what it is that has been spoken to you. Because see, life is always speaking. Do you get my point? You, when they sack the boards of 5 big banks in Nigeria, that is life speaking to you. Somebody said, what does that mean? I said, it's called all flesh is grass. Do you understand my point? That's all it means. All flesh is grass. Just by the way, someone will give me some gist today in the office. He said, one particular man mentioned the name. I said, this man I saw one day in town, they told me how rich he is and all the cars that he has. I said, they said, right now the man is auctioning property so as to repay. I said, all flesh is grass. He's speaking things to you. These are lions. They are suffering hunger. Do you get my point? But those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. There's a way you respond to what life is speaking. Every day, you will sit down there, they tell you about kidnapping. He's telling you something. What are you going to use to respond to kidnapping? I have to raise the size of my barbed wire. You can, no, literally, you can respond like that. Or you can say, those who are with me are more than those who are on their side. That was what Elisha said. When they sent a whole army, not 3 armed robbers, a whole army to come and kidnap him. Do you get my point? Look, the Bible says those things were recorded for our learning. So in the face of all of those things, there are things we constantly say. Let me give you a testimony that will excite you. There was one man of God in Onitsha. Then they said somebody sent assassins to go and kill him. Let me cut a long story short. They caught him where he went to his mechanic. I don't know what one of them saw. Ran back into the car, tried to reverse. He reversed into a packed tanker and killed everybody inside the car. All the assassins died while he watched. God is not asleep. He said, 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Hear this, none will come near you. So anytime you hear trouble, that's what that's your response. I said, life is always offering you something. And believe me, when you fear, you begin to sink. So what the devil is trying to do, remember our series on the Christian's warfare. What the devil is trying to do is to fire arrows of fear into your heart. See whether it will ignite you to fear. And when you begin to fear, you begin to what? Sink. So what do? You say, this is what God has said about my life. That is what I will constantly say. It does not mean you are not seeing things that are different. It just means that you have heard the report. And like Ron Kennedy said, whose report will you believe? Isaiah said, who has believed our report? To that person, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. Are you getting the point? That's what we have been discussing till now. That's why we have our small pamphlet there. All right, the Lord is good. Now today, let's progress from there. Because Jesus said that you will be my witnesses first in where? Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and all the uttermost part of the world. So first, we started from Judea, which is ourselves, and we learned how to pray for ourselves. I want to take that a step further today. Let's take our text of scriptures from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. Amen. If you believe that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that there are more than on your side, the angels of God, Jesus looked at Peter and said, why are you afraid? If I wanted deliverance, I would have asked the Father for 12 legions. And that would have been guaranteed deliverance. So if you believe that the legions of God are on your side, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right, the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. I want to explain the principle of prayer to us today on how to pray for loved ones. Let's start from verse 39. First, we hear the story and then you see how it applies, because these things are examples of things that were supposed to come. They were shadows, all right, of things that were going to come. From Leviticus chapter 25, from verse 39, it says, and if a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to you that he sells himself to you, you shall not subject him to a slave service. Sorry, please. I want to go down to verse 47. Sorry. Where I really want is from verse 47. He said, now if the means of a stranger or a sojourner with you becomes sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him so as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or to the descendants of a stranger's family, that is somebody who is not of the commonwealth of Israel, then he shall have redemption right after he has been sold. Now this is his redemption right. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him. Or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. He then with his purchaser shall calculate from the year when he sold himself to him up to the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall correspond to the number of years. Now, the remaining are details. Is that okay? Of how they are supposed to do the redemption. Now, for those of us who don't understand, let me just quickly explain the meaning of this word redemption. To redeem simply means, the literal meaning of the word redeem is to buy back. What did I call it? To buy back. That is, this man, the culture then is, you know, it's not so, we don't do things like that these days. A man can hire himself out as a slave so he can borrow money. Do you understand the point? So he borrows money to settle issues. Then he begins to work. Now we give collateral, you know, landed property and stuff like that. But then you could give a person as collat. You understand what I mean? Now those days, you remember the story of the wife of the prophet, all right? The dead prophet that came to Elisha, saying that the creditor had come to take her two sons. Do you understand that? That was the principle then. That was the way they used to operate. Uh-huh. So, here, what the Bible says is that sometimes people go into bondage. Alright? And bondage, in that situation, is a sign of bondage to sin. And this time around, the person, the creditor, is the devil. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's a sign of, this is like a type of what I'm describing now. So, people can be in bondage. Now, redemption, as a rule, that's why we read this, He said that it has to be by blood relative. Please, I want you to understand this very closely. He said the man can be redeemed by his brother or his uncle or his cousin, all right? Or in summary, one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him. The Bible emphasized the fact that it's a blood relative that is redeeming somebody. And that's one thing I want you to understand. You will see, even when it came to the redemption of mankind, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus had to become flesh and blood. He had to be a blood relative to the people that he was going to redeem. There is a principle there. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now you see here, that it's not just anybody can come from anywhere. It has to be someone who's connected. Now there's a scripture I want to read, then I'll explain this thing further. Just bear that one in mind. Because anything you find yourself in life, there's a reason for it. You know, this is the wisdom of God. You were born in a particular place while your father didn't know God and your mother was a satanist. And you grew up as an Ogbanje or whatever. And then one day you gave your life to Christ. This is the wisdom of God. I like the way T.D. Jakes said it. That is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? It means today he can reach into the future. Today he can reach even into the past. Do you understand that? That is, God can alter things that happened previously. People don't realize that. God is the ultimate time traveler. No, really, God does that. You know what it means? I like the way my pastor then in Lagos would say, he said, when God alters events, you will think that the error of your past was necessary to bring you to your destiny. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. A man sins. Do you understand my point? David sinned. He took Bathsheba and killed a man. But let's forget that story for a while. Let's meet the story at the point in which a 17-year-old boy, I don't know the age of Solomon, was going to become king. Or shortly after he became king. And we saw that amount of wisdom demonstrated and the amount of economic prosperity brought into the land and that amount of justice established in the nation. And we say, my God, what kind of king is this? And they want to tell you the history of the king. Do you understand? You will think that everything was perfect. This man came to be because the father prayed and prayed hard and said, this son I am about to have, may he be hard for your glory. No, I missed one point. You will think that while he was in university, he went around the fellowship and checked all the most praying sisters. You look like you'll be able to conceive a son of the Most High. You understand what I'm explaining? Yeah, that's the way it will appear. Therefore, the Lord said, I should marry you, and you should marry me. And then you started praying for all your offsprings. You know, that's what you will think. As we are still in the realm of the spirit, trying to explain how the man came to be, somebody wake you up and say, wait. This man killed the father, the husband of that woman, and snatched her. What? And they gave birth to this kind of son? Let me tell you the truth. That man is a madman. this boy, I don't know what they do in that their family. That's another way of looking at the story. But you know what really happened, all right? Is that after David repented, do you understand my point? After Nathan said that God has forgiven you, however, we have to make certain payments for certain reasons. And David went through his trials and his tribulations as a consequence of those acts. By the time everything was done, God now gave Solomon, all right, through the same Bathsheba, and loved Solomon so much, he sent a special name when the boy was born. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. If you looked at the life of Solomon, it will appear as if God went back and made it appear as if for such a king to be born, somebody had to kill somebody and snatch somebody's wife. But the truth is that, no, that was not necessary. The way the life of David was going, God allowed him to go through those trials to expose certain things in himself so that he will confess those things out. All right, the wickedness in his heart. He thought he was a kind man. He thought he was a good man. Look at the way he responded. All right, when they said that somebody sinned, somebody did that. In this land it must not happen. It was the hypocrisy of his heart. Then God exposed that to him. He confessed it, and then he was able to bring forth Solomon. All the sons he had up till that time were not good children. None of them was a good child. What am I saying? Could God have brought Solomon first without David going through that? Yes. Possibly. If David If David had been a good man, you get my point, and didn't have that kind of wickedness in his heart, Solomon would have come forth without that kind of experience. But when David confessed his sins and God forgave him, God reached out into the past and made it appear as if today, all right, is a product of a perfectly perfect past. Now, that's what it means when he said God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, so I'm explaining something here. So you see that you may be in a family today, you are in a particular situation, and you wonder that how could God be so unkind? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what he's doing? Now that you have come to know him, now that you have come to relate with his word, he is bringing forth something out of your life that will make it look as if your father needed to be a wicked soul for your life to become perfect. I don't know whether you're following the point I'm making. It will appear as if Joseph did not have wicked brethren, he would never get anywhere in life. And one of the things I'm going to bring out to you today is this. Let me tell you something, by the way, before I develop this thing further. I learned this a few years ago. Do you know God loves everybody? I grew up in the world of faith. Unconsciously, people made it look as if God loved only me and hated everybody else. I don't know whether you get my point. Unconsciously, you think that God is angry with the unbeliever and he wants to break his head. You have not yet believed. Give me Koboko there. He has not believed. He has not yet believed. Let's finish him. What these wicked souls? Give me a gun. Shoot all the people who have not believed. No, God is not like that. God loves everyone. Do you understand my point? And he's trying to help each person. He said, let rain fall, let it fall on them. Even sun, let it shine. They haven't believed, don't worry. Peradventure, eventually. Are you getting my point? So the same way God sends help to you, he also sends help to unbelievers. Not because they deserve it, but because he's kind. And it's his patience that he's trying to use to lead them to repentance. Are you following my point? That's why, look, I have realized that thing. They're not the only one in life that God wants to bless. So if something misses you and goes to somebody else's as a good thing, you have no business being jealous. Not only you, did. And believe me, God loves her. Even the man, all right, who is walking in sin, the truth is that God loves him. I'm not saying sin is a good thing. The day God will finally judge him is because God wouldn't have a choice. That is, he will have by himself brought himself to the point in which I must be judged. I must be killed. So God will kill him reluctantly. I hope you are getting my point. That's how God is. There's a reason why I'm explaining this. Because oftentimes people look at, why me, why my life? Look, listen. The people that you are complaining about, that why God bring me out of this kind of place, God loves everybody there. That's what I'm saying. And he said, now I have brought you out of this kind of place. Listen to this. I will now perfect you into something that you become a redeemer for those from amongst whom I brought you out. I don't know whether you got that point. We are looking for, you know, perfection around us. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. The reason why God called you so that you can be a redeemer. I'm coming to something. You know, we are reading a scripture about redemption. People are in bondage. Satan is holding people in bondage. He said a man can be delivered if he prospers himself. You read that? Therefore, you have prospered yourself up to a level that your faith brought you deliverance. Do you get my point? That is spiritual prosperity. Say, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in good even as your soul prospers. That is, your soul can so prosper that you will have brought yourself out of the bondage of the devil. But when people have prospered, do you understand my point? God gives them a responsibility to look out for their brethren that have not yet prospered. Do you get my point? Spiritually now, and therefore be the redeemer of those kind of people. Only a wicked soul of a Christian. We say, I told them to believe, they refuse to believe. Let them suffer. Just know that. Your father, the devil. Okay, I withdraw that. You're a Christian. Amen. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Yeah, hey, mind them. You know, this is my sister. I've been telling her, believe. She's suffering now. Very good. Me, I believe though. I believe since. That's why God has been blessing me. You will soon enter Wahala. Please, are you following what I'm going to explain? That a true child of God, all right, doesn't ever look with judgmental eyes at people. knowing that if God has the opportunity, do you follow me? He will save those people. But God doesn't just save people anyhow. And that's what I'm trying to explain to us. We don't have time to go into the detail. Let me just explain these things briefly, all right? Look at the case of Abraham. Whatever circumstances surrounded the departure of Lot from Abraham, all right? That was forgotten. When God appeared, all right, and said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Even before that, let's even forget that one first. Remember when Abraham heard that Lot had been captured? Some people came to fight the king of Sodom and Lot was captured. He armed himself, armed his men, and at risk to his life and his property, he went to attack so as to redeem Lot. That's what blessed men do. You know what the Lord will want to do? Lot, you see? I knew it was going to come. It was going to happen. This is your gra-gra head. It was going to happen. All your IGG, don't slow down now. Initial gra-gra. Follow me, you should have known. Any man like a man like me blessed you, you should have worshipped me all the days of your life. King of Sodom, who's the name of the king now? I don't know. Anyway, teach him a lesson, teach him a lesson. And they'll be begging him, Abraham, please now. He's your brother. Say, which kind of brother? Brothers that don't respect their elders. See the wickedness in our souls sometimes. But Abraham didn't do that. You know what he did? Like, all right, let me not bore you with the story. He got up, armed himself, and went and rescued Lot. That was the reason he went. And the day judgment was going to come upon the land. Now, this is a man who had prospered and had delivered himself from the clutches of the devil. Therefore, what did he do? When he heard that judgment was coming, listen, this is what redeemers do. He sat down before God and began to intercede. One man explained something. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but he said that Abraham stopped at number 10 when he calculated that Lot was well taken care of. That is, when he said, what if you find 10 righteous men? He said he calculated that Lot and his wife too, then his children, and then their husbands and their wives. You know, he calculated everything. By the time he was calculating, there were about 10 people, so he said, God is okay. Now, I don't know whether that's what really happened, all right? But the point is that Abraham interceded for Lot. Do you understand my point? Now, another thing I want you to understand is this. I'll just summarize everything so that we can get the point. Spiritual things have measures. You've heard me say that several times. Spiritual things have what? Measures. And that's number one. So you have measure of faith. Bible talks about measure of faith. Yeah, but little faith and great faith. All right? You hear about prayers being measured. How do I know? The Bible talks about the prayer of the saints being poured into a censer. That gives you an impression that they have measures, all right? There's a measure of anointing. Spiritual things have measures. Is that okay? Bear that one in mind. Secondly, human beings have measures. Everybody say amen. I'm sure I've said that several times to you. You should know it by now. Human beings have what? Measures. In presence of God, spiritually speaking now, some are high, some are low. Let me give you a free scripture to quickly prove it. When Daniel was interpreting the handwriting on the wall, what did he say? You have been put on a scale and you have been found what? Wanting, deficient, too light. I think it was Proverbs or David that said, David said it, that men of vanity, they are light. In the scales, they go up. That is, you put weight against them, the weight comes down, they go up in the scale. That's how unrighteous men are. They are light. They don't have weight in God's presence. Righteous men, listen, the word is righteous, righteous. Righteousness is the stamp of approval that God puts upon your relationship with him. Is that all right? Now, righteous men spiritually, they are heavy. They are weighty. They are weighty. Do you get what I mean? They are heavy people. You put them on a scale, they drag everybody else down. Now, I want you to understand something. The reason, now, you know, everything you see on the surface of the earth is a perversion of that which exists in the realm of the spirit. Last time I was in the market, last time I was in the market, somebody gave me change. I gave him 1,000 naira, and he gave me a change with a counterfeit 450 naira note. Will you believe me? That I was given counterfeit 450 naira. He gave me a note 300 naira, and it was fake. You will look as if I said, "Are you all right?" Because you know, there's no counterfeit 450 naira note. How come you are so sure? Do you know all the counterfeits in the life? No. But one thing you know is all the originals. There's no original 450. Therefore, there cannot be a counterfeit 450 naira note. Are you getting my point? Physical laws are like that also. Every fake law in the realm, on this physical realm, is a corruption of a real one. What am I trying to say? They say it is not who you know. It is not what you know, but who you know. Have you heard that thing before? Yeah. You know, you say it's wrong, it's wrong. It should be what I know. The truth is that that is the truth about life. How do you get things from God? Because of what you know. It is because of who you know. If you know Christ Jesus, then you are acceptable. Do you see what I'm saying? It is what? Who you know. Now, I'm bringing out something here. God answers prayers purely because of who you know. Let me say this. Remember we said there are those who are deficient in faith. Therefore, they are in bondage. They have become poor and wanting, like we read from Leviticus chapter 25. How would they be delivered? How would they be redeemed? Listen, because of the kind of people that they know. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The reason why God will deliver a man will be because of the person he knows. The reason why God will have mercy upon your brother, your father, your cousin, is because he knows you. You don't understand what I'm going to explain. He doesn't have the wealth of faith by himself to deliver himself. We have established that. That's why he's an unbeliever. So when God wants to bless him, even though he loves him, listen to me, all right? There are times God will stir you. Remember a friend of yours. Where is this guy now? Let me give you an assignment. When you remember that, people like that, offer a word of prayer for them. It is possible they are in danger. And the only righteous man that God knows is you. And let me tell you something. If you don't do anything, he's dead. Listen. This is what Christianity is. Let me tell you the truth. This is how it goes. If you are prosperous yourself, faith-wise, you can deliver yourself. You can use the words you have been using over the last few days and shame the devil and get him out of your environment. You can speak words to drive away even genetic diseases from your body. Do you get my point? But you have a friend. Because God understands the principle of families. Do you get what I'm saying? He talks about every family in heaven and on earth by whom they are named. God knows the meaning of families. There's a reason why God created families. Why don't we just produce offsprings like fish? Just spawn, you know? Just pack your egg somewhere, close the door, and waka come out. Children are born in families. That's just the way God made it. There's a reason for that. Without it, there's no spiritual cover for anybody. Are you getting my point? So the man who's personally prosperous, like we said, we're talking about faith now, not money. This was a type. By your faith, you can deliver yourself. Because you have come to know God, because you have come to know his word, because you have learned the word of God with which to wrest yourself out of the arms of the devil and get him out of your sight. But you have a friend. Families, all right? Spiritually, they don't have to be blood relatives. My wife says, tell you something. That one day she told me something that, how come when it's these people, you mention somebody's name, you're always so concerned. The person, let's talk on natural plane, all right? I'm from Mondo State. My father was from Awo. My mother from the same place. The person is talking about, or the people he's talking about, both of them are from Anambra State. Husband and wife. Do you get what I'm saying? Naturally speaking. But, spiritually, let me not tell you stories, all right, of our background. We've been tied. God just raised us up in the same home, faith-wise. We ate from the same tables. If I still remember, one day I was very ill, all right, on campus. When I recovered for about a week, I remember the first place I went to go and eat was in this lady's room. I just strolled over. Hey, Banky, you're fine. I said, you like to eat something? I said, yeah, I like to. I just feel like eating rice and boiled egg. So she got up, prepared rice and egg, and I said, is this one enough? I said, no, put plenty. had more. I forgot that I had been without food for days. My stomach don't shrink. I said, I thought it was the barbecue